The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
The following is a Hoop Ball presentation.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Box Score Breakdown for Friday, the 12th of February 2021. I'm your host, Mr. Jolly of Sydney. My partner, normally the other host, is Scotty Harland. He is aka the Harlander 23. There can only be one. You can find him on Twitter at the Harlander, H-A-R-Lander 23 on Twitter. And I am Mr. Jolly of Sydney on Twitter. Shout outs to the big knobs from hoop-ball.com, Aaron Brewski, Dan Beshboros, all of the other great podcasters and editors and betting advisors, all those great dudes over there. Go and check it out at hoop-ball.com. The content is fabulous, and so are the people. And speaking of fabulous people, I'm joined by a very special guest this evening. He is an aficionado of rookie cards, among other claims to fame or infame. He is also a guy who plays in a lot of deep leagues, 30-team leagues, 24-team leagues, contract leagues, you name it, every kind of esoteric league that's out there. Now, he's perfect for today because we've had some breakouts. We've got rookies going off like frogs in socks. He's the one and only, we call him Wizards Woj. He's a big Wizards fan and he just, you know, he follows the stuff like Woj. He is John Steele. Mr. Steele, how are you? Professor Steele, I should say.
Hey, Aaron, everybody. Thanks. I'm probably the only remaining Wizards fan out there after today's game, especially. So I do know a lot about that team. And as Aaron said, I'm a professor here in Seoul, and I'm on vacation for the last month or so. So I've had a good chance to see a lot of the games and a lot of the action. And I'm ready to talk about some of the action that we saw here today. So should we go ahead and get started?
Yeah, let's jump right into it. And the first game has got some of that exciting rookie breakout kind of stuff that we've been looking at, because it's LaMelo Ball, Anthony Edwards playing in a game where the Charlotte Hornets run out winners 120 points to 114. We'll start with the Charlotte Hornets first. Terry Rozier, gee, oh my goodness gracious. He had 41-7-3 with block. If you drafted him around pick 80 or 90, merry bloody Christmas to you. Gordon Hayward had 14-7-5. With a steal. Devontae Graham was back. He played 27 minutes. He had just 8, 2, and 4. You can guess he shot under 45%. He was 4 for 10 from the field and 0 for 5 from deep. Nothing surprising there. Cody Zeller, or Old Zeller, as John calls him, he had 25 minutes, 17, 8, and 1 for the Hornets. Miles Bridges had 11 and 10. He's picking up those rebounds, isn't he, John Miles?
Oh yeah, this is a team that I'm really excited about. I mean, I consider myself an aficionado of middle of the road or even teams at the bottom of the Eastern Conference, and for the last few years, it's been pretty dreadful to watch some of those teams. But now we got some excitement with teams like Cleveland and Detroit, New York Knicks, and right at the top of that is Charlotte. They're really fun to watch, and yeah, I'm really high on Miles Bridges. He's really been stringing together a lot of high rebound games the last week or so. So I really like his game and really like watching him play. And overall, just really excited about this team.
Yeah, now probably the most exciting thing is LaMelo Ball, isn't it? He had 20 and 11 with 4 assists and 3 steals, 8 for 15 from the field, and a 2 for 8 from deep. Now I'm thinking about trading Miles Turner away to get this guy in Dynasty. Am I crazy?
No, I don't think so. I think he's the real deal. And I would be in a dynasty league. I would be trying to do whatever I could to get him. I don't think there's really a price too high, especially for a rebuilding team.
And that's what I am in that league. So hopefully my buddy from Detroit's not listening tonight, because I'm going to ping out an offer. I'll get right off the call and ping out an offer before this gets published.
Yeah, I don't think you'll be disappointed having him, you know, to build your team around for the next, foreseeable future. So yeah, go ahead and try to do that.
Now, what about the guy who went before him in the draft, or one of two guys who did, Anthony Edwards, on the other side for the Minnesota Timberwolves? We'll talk about Carl Towns in a minute, but let's talk about Edwards. He had 21, 6 and 3, 9 for 21 from the field, 2 for 6 from deep, hit his three throw, and he had no turnovers as well, which you love to see. The steals and the block numbers are not there yet for him. Maybe he gets them later. Now, Dan Bespris from Fantasy NBA Today, one of the lads whose shoulders we are standing on, those giants with the shoulders we stand on sometimes, he was telling people a couple of weeks ago, probably about 10 days ago, go and grab Anthony Edwards. And people were saying, you're nuts, you're crazy. But he looks like he's forging a role for himself now. He's starting. He played 33 minutes with Towns back. He's probably going to get some more open looks. Are you a little bit higher on him now than perhaps you were a few weeks ago?
From a fantasy perspective, yeah, totally. I mean, I like how they brought him along slowly and brought him off the bench for, you know, the first few weeks to month or so. But yeah, I think he's feeling more comfortable. I think he still has a long way to go from like a real basketball perspective. But for fantasy, yeah, I'd be trying to scoop him up as well.
Yeah, now, just to be clear, I drafted him in the last round in a couple of leagues and I dropped him. And then I think I picked him up in 3 or 4 of my 15 or 16 leagues off the waiver wire around the time Dan was first talking about it. And now you can't really find him on any waiver wires. But have a little bit of a look. If he's there, he's definitely worth picking up. Another guy who plays for the Timberwolves is Beasley. My goodness, he's been amazing this season. He had 31 and 5 with an assist and a steal. Have you got him anywhere, John? 12 for 21 shooting as well. 7 for 13 from deep. He looks like he's going to be even better with Towns back.
Yeah, I had a chance to get him in a 30-team league. Minnesota team sent me. I'm the Wizards in there, and they sent me a package. They were trying to get Beal from me, and he was one of the big pieces in that package, of course. But I turned it down. I don't regret it at all. But yeah, he's definitely much better than I was expecting. And I like a lot of the peripheral guys that they have there on Minnesota as well. Like, you know, a lot of the young guys like Vanderbilt and, you know, of course, Naz Reid on the number one. Naz Reid fanned out that his role is going to go down with Cat back, but I still really believe in him long term.
Now, he's a guy you definitely want as a handcuff. I'm kicking myself a couple of leagues. I didn't pick him up where I drafted Towns. And ironically, I picked up Naz Reid in other leagues where I didn't have Towns, and I've taken that top 50 value that he provided for that a month where he was top 50. Today, Reid played 16 minutes. He had 7, 5, and 4. But if you own Towns and Reid gets dropped anywhere, I would go and stick him on your bench, especially in a weekly league where you don't have to start people each week. Does that sound like solid advice, Professor Steele?
Totally. In my case, I just look for guys who I think are good players. And I think that the fantasy part of it will sort itself out. And this is a guy that even he's, you know, in deeper leagues, he's still playable, even with Cat in there. You know, he's a guy that can get in there for 12, 15 minutes and still put up 10, 12 points, you know, grab 6, 8 rebounds. And he's a hell of a 3-point shooter as well. So He's a guy I like, you know, as you said, as a handcuff, kind of short term, but also long term as well. Like if you're in a dynasty type league, he's a kind of guy that could potentially sign with another team and be a starting center somewhere. I see a little bit of Thomas Bryant in him actually, just from the shooting perspective, the shooting aspect of his game. You know, he has a lot of nice feel, and he's just a really, really solid player. So I really like him both short term and long term as well.
Now, those fringe guys you talk about, Okogie had 6 and 4 in his 20 minutes. McLaughlin had 6, 7 assists and 4 steals. Jaden McDaniels had 9 and 4 with an assist, a steal, and 2 blocks. And now, I don't know how you pronounce that exactly, he had 17 assists, 2, 2, and 1. Of those guys, before we talk about Towns, any of those, Vanderbilt, sorry, just had 7 minutes, 2 and 2. In terms of 12-team, whether it's points or category leagues, probably none of them are really 12-team ads, are they?
No. I was thinking more of bigger leagues, but they're guys to keep an eye on. I mean, I think they're all pretty young and they all have a lot of room to grow. So I think, I don't think any of them will be rosterable this year.
Now, someone who's very rosterable, and gee, it feels good to have him back. I'm in a couple of leagues where I have Towns, where I'm the two main leagues I have him. I'm second last or last, because you just when you lose something like that. But it's ironically, over on Basketball Monster, when I plug my teams in, the team where I'm last with him, I'm projected to finish first. but I have to make the playoffs first. that's the problem. I'm like 10 games out of the playoffs or something. But I've got Towns, I've got Porzingis, and I've got Joel Embiid, as well as Adams as my front line. And I picked up Noel as well. Gee, that's some tall timber, isn't it?
Yeah. He just looks so great out there today. I mean, he had a couple of, step back threes. I mean, he's just so agile, and, you know, for a 7-footer, it's just remarkable what he can do.
Yeah, so he had 25, 8, 2 assists, 2 steals, a block, 9 for 18 from the field, 5 for 8 from deep, perfect 2 of 2 at the foul line, and just 1 turnover. That's pretty remarkable. The only thing you can really complain about is the box score being -3, but they're still a little bit short. I think they'll be better when they get everybody back and healthy. They had no D'Lo, no Layman, who's a decent depth guy for them as well. But we better move on to the second game of the evening. Talk about your Washington Wizards. They went down by 18 points to the Knicks. So is this just a case without Beal, you know, you guys are struggling this season, and the Knicks are probably a lot better than we expected too, aren't they?
Yeah, I don't think it's something that we can point to as it's just because Beal wasn't there type thing. I watched this game, and it was just it was a rough watch, I tell you. I mean, it finished off being an 18 points victory by the Knicks, but it seemed more like 40 or 50. It wasn't even a game really the whole time. So I don't think Beal being there. It's just this team is just I don't know. I've been following them my whole life, and it brings me tears to see what's going on there.
Well, let's talk about some of the guys there and see who you do value long-term, because I think in terms of 12 team, it's pretty hard to see much value behind Bond, Westbrook, and Beal. Westbrook had 23, 9, and 10 with a steal, and he was 10 for 22 from the field. You can't really complain when he makes it to 45%, but he missed all of his three-point shots, and he was 3 of 6 at the foul line. As a Washington fan, how did you feel initially in a nutshell when you found out Westbrook was coming, and how are you feeling now?
I felt good at first. I thought that something needed to happen. I mean, Wall was not very happy about the franchise or the organization wanting to make Beal, you know, kind of the top ace there, as we say. So, I just felt that there was a lot of friction between Wall and Beal. So I felt pretty good about it at first. I thought that, you know, that Westbrook was more of an orderly type guy, that he was going to keep things in line, kind of a floor general type guy, as compared to Wall. So I was really optimistic about it at first, and I'm not totally out of it at this point. I think there was some health things there, but the last couple of weeks he's looked a little bit more explosive. I'm just worried about him and Beal working together. You know, how that fit is going to progress. But yeah, I mean, Wall's been looking great, so it doesn't look too good right now for the Wizards, but we'll see. I'm keeping my optimism.
And of course, you lost Tommy Bryant. And to be honest with you, when Tommy was playing and the three of them were playing together before the real injury set in, even though you guys, I think, lost your first 5 games, there were some heart attack games there. You were playing pretty well. So I think there's some other mitigating circumstances, plus a lot of new players coming together. I don't think you've had the same team pretty much start any games. Let's talk about some of these other guys, though. Who else has any potential value? Rui Hachimura had 10 and 5 today with nothing else, pretty much. Matthews had 14 points and 1 rebound, a couple of blocks. Alex Len at 8 and 4. Avdija had 8 and 6. And Troy Brown made an appearance today. He had 10, 5 and 1. Wagner had nothing. He just had 4 minutes. Robin Lopez had 5 and 4 in 20 minutes. It's pretty messy, isn't it? Is there any kind of light at the end of the tunnel there? Is there anybody worth stashing on your team for the second half of the season in 12 teams?
Well, going back to what I was saying before, just thinking about it from like a real basketball perspective, I don't see any I don't see any potential there with Hachimura at all. From a real perspective, I don't see him any development from when he first came into the league. I don't know if that's coaching or, you know, if he just started in basketball too late. But in contrast to him is Avdija, who, you know, as a rookie, he's shown some potential, and he just has that feel that a basketball player needs. He's been playing his whole life. He grew up around the game, whereas Rui grew up more as a soccer player. So I'm really optimistic about Avdija, not necessarily for this year, but maybe starting next year. You know, he could be kind of a 12 team player to keep an eye on. Other than that, I mean, these other guys are just kind of just guys. I mean, every once in a while, a guy will step up and have a game, you know, like Garrison Matthews or Lynn or whatever. But I don't really see any of these guys as consistent, you know, guys to own on a 12-team format.
What about in Dynasty, in a sentence or two, have we given up on Troy Brown Jr.?
I think he's one of the most talented guys on the team, to be honest. I don't know what it is, but he's always in Scott Brooks' doghouse. I don't know what it is. I mean, he comes from a great background. You know, he's a hard worker. He has a lot of natural feel and a lot of natural talent. He looks fantastic in the bubble, but he just hasn't been able to put it together on a nightly basis. And I think he's the kind of guy that when he gets the chance to go to another team, he might be able to flourish as a sixth man off the bench. But with the Wizards, as they're currently constructed, I don't see I'm not too optimistic about him.
And it's funny, I was talking about this on the last show, the one before, actually it was yesterday with Brent, and also one of the shows they did by myself about the sort of curse of the bubble. A lot of players who are really good in the bubble have either been injured, like TJ Warren, Tommy the Tank Bryant, of course, have been injured, or they've just really fallen off. There's really only a few that broke out in the bubble. Booker was amazing in the bubble, and he's really dropped off this season, at least in fantasy. Keldon Johnson is one of the few who was huge in the bubble, is doing well. And of course, Nurkic was another one who was massive, and then he was terrible, and then obviously got injured as well, which really sucks. It's Valentine's Day coming up. 2 million men are already using Manscaped products to groom. Make sure you're one of them. Valentine's Day is upon us. You don't know where the night is going to take you, and our friends at Manscaped, the global leaders in men's below-the-waist grooming, are here to tell you need to use the best tools for the job. If your girl can't think of what to get you this year, tell her to get the gift that's for you and for her. The best way to get started is with the Manscaped Perfect Package 3.0, full of the best products to keep you looking, smelling, and feeling nice. The Perfect Package, of course, is led by the revolutionary third-generation Lawnmower 3.0 trimmer with its advanced skin-safe technology, which prevents any messes on the bathroom floor and stuff like that because it's waterproof. That's very important when it's time for Cupid to shoot his arrow, of course. The Perfect Package also comes with a pair of Manscaped boxes that will keep your junk feeling fresh all day. It's time to upgrade those over the old, used, stinky pair of boxes you have to these high-performance, anti-chafing boxes. Complete your grooming game with a new refined cologne signature scent by Manscaped. That's the signature scent that's in all Manscaped formulas. This cologne is a perfect complement to your collection. So all of this is the perfect package for your perfect package. Get 20% off and free shipping with the code HOOPBALL20 at manscaped.com. That is HOOPBALL20 at manscaped.com. 20% off and free shipping. Your balls and the people who enjoy them will thank you. Let's talk about the Knicks. The Knicks are actually pretty interesting to watch, aren't they? I watch a bit of the Knicks games because they're on earlier in the day, usually before I do a bit of work in the afternoon. So it's a bit spotty with the sort of afternoon games here in Australia where I'm watching. John is, of course, in Korea. The Knicks games are on quite early. And if you've been watching the Knicks, you would have been watching Julius Randle just having an absolutely amazing season. He had 24 and 18 today with 4 assists and a steal. Probably with Mitch Robinson being injured and Nerlens Noel not being a huge Thibs guy, we might see a bit more of Randle playing center moving forward with Taj Gibson as well, of course.
He's just been an absolute beast, and he's been really consistent. And he's kind of like one of those guys like Ben Simmons who you don't really notice him putting up numbers during the game, but then if you're watching the game, that is, and you check the box score afterward, and they have 12 rebounds and 9 assists, and they just do things. They just rack up stats really quietly somehow. That's how I feel about Randle. But yeah, just from the beginning of the season, he's just been on a mission. You know, I'm really excited about his assists that he's been putting up. He's been declining a little bit in that recently, but he's just fun to watch. And he didn't used to be that way. It's kind of interesting. Like, I used to really not enjoy watching him at all, but he's really blossomed there in the last year or so.
Do you think people are hard on Thibs as a coach, and maybe he sort of developed this reputation as being a hard ass and being old school, being a bit of a okay boomer sort of guy? But someone has to take a bit of credit for Julius Randle's turnaround, because it's not just fantasy and real life. Like, he's a huge part of the reason why the Knicks are basically pretty much a 500 team.
Yeah, they were talking about that on the broadcast today. Actually, there's a certain type of player that he looks for, and there's a certain type of player that can play in his system. And sometimes those things don't add up or don't match up, but when they do, it really works. And he seems to have a pretty good chemistry with this team so far. And, compared to what they've been doing the last 5-10 years, you know, Knicks fans have got to be pretty excited about what they see on the court.
Yeah, now speaking of excited, we've got to get through a whole bunch of games in 23 minutes here, or however long I've got you for. So let's just hit a couple of guys quickly from the Knicks. So, pardon the pun, quickly. He had 16 and 2 in just 21 minutes, and Derrick Rose had 20 minutes, had 14 and 3 and 6 with 4 steals. Payton had 23 minutes, 12, 3 and 2, and Burks seems to be the kind of loser. He had 25 minutes. He had 8 rebounds and assists with no points on 0-for-3 shooting. So of those guys, would you roster any of them?
Yeah, I like all of those guys. I'm not giving up on Burks. I mean, if you can see there, he had a plus 21 as far as plus minus goes. And still was able to grab 8 rebounds. He just wasn't able to get his shot up that much today. I'm not really sure why. They were doing a lot of Derrick Rose isolation. They had a really old school type formation going where they had like 3 or 4 guys lined up on one side of the court and then D Rose all the way on the left side of the court. It reminded me of, you know, something out of 1997. That goes back to the Tibbs effect, I guess. But I don't know. It's tough for me to say because I don't really play too much 12 team formats, but I like all of these guys, you know.
Hmm. And what about in Dynasty? Have you got any quickly? And have you got any quickly rookie cards?
I do have a quickly autograph, which I'm keeping, and I'm waiting for the right moment to maybe flip that one. But unfortunately, I do not have any quickly. I do have Burks in our 12 team lead that I'm in with you, and I might drop him soon. So if you're high on him, keep an eye out on the waiver wire there. But
we need to pod more often because I can't get a secret out of you normally.
Well, I think you know, obviously Rose coming in, it kind of decreases the value of all of them a little bit. I mean, I think they had a pretty good values set up there, but we'll see. I mean, it takes time to see how these things play out. But, you know, Tibbs prefers the older guys, the guys that he's been with before, his guys, if you will. So I'm expecting to see a lot of minutes out of Rose.
Indeed. Now let's move on to the next game of the evening, which is the Spurs, another interesting team, and the Hawks. Interesting. We could be here all night if we went into the details of these guys because there's so many interesting guys here. Kelton Johnson had 22 and 1. We'll save him for another evening. DeRozan had 23, 6 and 8. For the Spurs, by the way, he ran out winners 125-114. DeJounte Murray, wow, 16, 6 and 5 with a steal. He's been really good this season. Derek White in limited minutes, just 17 minutes. He showed what he can do there. Hit 11, 2 and 4 with a steal and a block. He gets those defensive categories. Just 5 shots, providing value in 16 minutes. As he ramps up, he's going to be great. Millsy had 12, 3 and 4 in his 20 minutes. He's dropped off a bit and probably he is a drop. The guy I wanted to ask you about was Jakob Poeltl. He had 14 and 12 with an assist, 3 steals and 3 blocks. Should I drop Nerlens Noel for him and pick up Poeltl instead in 12-team redraft, or would you keep Noel now that Mitch Robinson is injured? And that's the thing we miss with the Knicks, of course. Mitch Robinson has fractured his hand and is probably going to miss at least a month.
Oh, that's a tough question. I mean, I think as long as Aldridge is out, I think I'd rather have Poeltl right now. He you know, he kind of reminds me of a Zubac type. You know, he gets a lot of rebounds, a lot of points, and, you know, pretty good percentages, field goal, and not quite as good as with the free throw percentage. But I think, if everything stays as it is right now, I'd rather have Poeltl. But as soon as LMA comes back, that could all change. But I'm pretty high on Noel, Nerlens also. I've always liked Nerlens' game.
He's just a blocks and steals and a per-minute monster, isn't he, Nerlens Noel, with good field goal percentage as well. Now, the Hawks are a team that both of us have a lot of interest in. For a start, I've got Trae Young in, I think, I've got him in the $75 Roto redraft 9 category league, the Dan's private league. He was keeping me afloat in a few categories, but killing me in some other ones. And I've got him in a couple of dynasty leagues as well. Two leagues I've now paired up Jason Tatum with him for the long, long haul in rebuilding formats. He had 25-1 with 3 assists, 8-for-15 shooting. Not quite the volume we normally expect. John Collins was poor today. He had 3-from-11 shooting, 9-6-1. Where are you with John Collins? He seems to be a bit of a lightning rod, that guy. There's people who are all about John Collins, and then there are other people who think that he's really overrated. But do you think he hits his ADP in that sort of 30 to 40 range?
You know, I've never been a fan of John Collins. And again, going back just from the real basketball perspective and trying to kind of apply that to my fantasy game as well a little bit. But I don't know. He's always a guy that at the end of the day he finishes right around where he's drafted, I guess. But I don't know. I just don't. There's just so many cooks in the kitchen there. I guess if he ever gets traded or you know gets on another situation, he might have a chance to put up numbers more consistently. I mean, with this team though, you know, just one or two guys will pop up in 1 week, and then the next week it'll be two totally different guys. So it's kind of a hard team to have ownership
It really is. And then we thought maybe we'd found one with Hunter, and then he's got hurt. And then Herter, well, actually, Kevin Herter is probably the big beneficiary of DeAndre Hunter being out, but he just had 5-2 with 4 assists and a steal today against really good teams with a sort of lockdown perimeter defense that you get from guys like DeJounte Murray, for example. You can see him struggling a bit. He was 2-for-8 from the field, but he has been of value this season so far. Capella had 14-11 with 2 blocks, which is what you have him for, and the field goal percentage 7-for-11 from the field, which is great. But Skylar Mays, talk about people just coming out of nowhere. He's a guy that we laughed about in our 30-team league when someone drafted him. He had 20 points, 1 rebound, 3 assists, 1 steal, 4-for-5 from deep on 7-for-10 shooting.
Yeah, totally out of the blue. I didn't see that coming. I don't think anybody saw that coming. But that's just kind of how this team works. I mean, you see a guy like Nathan Knight. Like, there was 1 week where he was kind of a hot name, and you know, just guys pop up out of nowhere with this team. So it's kind of like the New England Patriots running back situation from a couple years ago. You just don't know who to start. So it's kind of a outside of Trey, of course, it's a team that I typically avoid as much as I can.
Now, the next game was an absolute barn burner. The Mavs won 143-130 over the Pelicans. For the Pelicans, Zion Williamson had 36-2-4 with 2 steals, 14-15 from the field. He was 10-for-10 in the first half, and he's also 8-for-11 from the foul line. He's sneakily improving his foul shooting. Zion Williamson, he may end up sort of beating, I wouldn't say his ADP, but where people thought, like people in the know were thinking he's going to finish 60th or 70th or something like that, because he's not going to give you any defensive stats, or the foul shooting is going to be really bad. But he's improved that foul shooting.
That's definitely a good sign. I mean, but how is somebody that big on the court for 37 minutes able to rack up 36 points and only grab 2 rebounds? I can't fathom how that's possible.
Yeah, now that is a bit weird, and it's something, I guess what is he doing? Is he playing defense? Is he getting ready to get down to the other court and play at the other end of the court and play offense? It's probably that. Who grabbed the rebounds for them? Let's have a look here. So Hernan Gomez got 9 rebounds. Lonzo Ball, 6 rebounds. Bledsoe, 4. Ingram, 5. Adams only had 4. So it's not like Adams is stealing all the boards away from him either, is it?
Yeah, it's just, it's hard to understand. You know, this is actually a team that I haven't seen play too much this year. So it's hard for me to, you know, give any type of analysis on that, but it just seems like, you know, somebody who's that size, who's on the court for that amount of time, would be able to grab 6-8 rebounds at the very least on a bad night.
And I think really,
for the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts, so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Special else of note for the Pelicans, other than for deeper league guys, Willie Hernangómez had 10-9 with 3 assists. That's a couple of good games in a row for him in his 21 minutes. He may be a deep league pickup. Kyra Lewis had just 16 minutes. He had 5-2. He's been on the rookie watch of late, sort of having a few games and stuff. We'll keep an eye on that. For the Dallas Mavericks, my goodness, Gray, my gracious God, Luka Doncic, my gracious God, there we go, I'm mixing up my phraseology. 46, 8-12 with a steal and a block, 17-30 from the field, 5-8 from the three-point line, 7-9 from the foul line. That's one of the best lines of the fantasy season.
Jeez, I mean, that'll win you a league right there. I mean, but you know, Luka, you know, he's on the court just about the same amount of time as Zion, and you know, playing a little bit more on the periphery than Zion is, but he's able to grab, you know, close to 10 rebounds. I'd like to see a little bit more out of Zion in that category.
Now, Porzingis, I wanted to ask you about him. He had 36-7 with an assist and a block. Were you just saying in one of our threads yesterday that Porzingis was done, or was that somebody else?
No, that was me. But again, these are two teams that I haven't really. I just don't enjoy watching these teams very much for some reason. Just something about the aesthetic, about their, you know, the style of their play. It's just not that attractive to me. But yeah, just from what I've read, and it just doesn't seem like most people, most analysts, you know, most gurus and experts were too optimistic on him and, you know, his future. But I don't know, you certainly couldn't tell that from today, could you?
And you can't complain about the fantasy value he's returned since he came back either. He's the 35th ranked player on a per game basis, and he's obviously, he missed a month, but he's right around Toby Harris, OG Anunoby, Chris Paul, Capella, Terry Rozier, who we're talking about having a massive season. So that gives you an idea. DeMar DeRozan, he's ahead of Giannis, Boucher, Rashawn Holmes, Trey Young, John Collins, Al Horford, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, Haliburton. Those are some pretty either huge names or guys having huge seasons that he's in front of already. So you can't complain about that return. It's all about the injury stuff, though. We'll have to wait and see how far his per game is away from his totals. A couple other things to look out for from the Mavs. Jalen Brunson had 13-6-7 in his 22 minutes, and he looks like a potential 12-team pickup, or definitely for 14 teams. The big man stuff is a real mess. Kleber had 6-6-2. Finney Smith had 14-5 in their 35 minutes. Cauley Stein played 13 minutes. It's, you know, maybe one of the reasons why John is not a huge fan is outside of Luka and Porzingis, it's not that amazing for fantasy either. So you're not really watching it going, oh, there's guys over there I can go and grab. It's not like watching Detroit or Charlotte, because when you watch those, you're looking for breakout guys that could give you value. But these guys, the other guys on the Mavs, it's apart from Tim Hardaway Jr., and even him, he had 8-0-0-0-0-0 with 2 3-pointers today. So...
Like, yeah, these teams like Dallas and Utah are just systems. I mean, you can plug in anybody and they'll put up numbers, and they're a bunch of, like, you know, outside of you know, big fantasy you know, guys like us, I guess, you know, just a bunch of kind of no-name guys that aren't that exciting, you know, that put up numbers here and there, but you know, they're just not that fun to watch and follow to me anyway. So I tend to stay away from them as much as I can.
Well, maybe we'll get a bit lucky with the next game. We've got the Clippers up against the Bulls, and the Clippers won 125-106. For the Clippers, Kawhi Leonard, wow. he is just having a great season. He had 33-6 with 3 assists, 2 steals, 14 for 21 from the field. The field goal percentage is great for him as well. 4 for 5 from the line. Batum had 7-6-1 with 3 steals and a block. And he's been a very sneaky late round or waiver wire grab, returning a lot of value. Reggie Jackson, you can maybe consider dropping him. He had 11-1 with 4 assists and a steal. Abaka had 9-5. Beverly only played 11 minutes. This is another team where it sort of gets messy because there's so many guys. Zubac had just 12-4. Would you roster Zubac rest of season?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, no doubt. I mean, I think you can count on him for pretty – he's a pretty consistent guy in my eyes. I mean, he'll always give you the field goal percentage and the free throw percentage, and he'll always be around, you know, like that 10.8 rebound. You know, he won't stray too far away from that. So I don't think he'll ever get, like, too far below that or too far above that. But if you need somebody – you know, that kind of that stabilizing force in your roster, he's you know, he's kind of like Poeltl. You know, he'll grab you a bunch of points and rebounds, and what else can you ask for?
and you can ask for something else, because unlike Poeltl, even though Poeltl has the bigger blocks upside, Zubac hits his free throws, so he doesn't hurt you in that category at all. On a Sunday, when I'm in those tight 5-4 matchups that we often end up in, you don't want Poeltl going and stinking, you know, going 2-for-6 from the foul line, and you end up losing. For the Bulls, Zach LaVine having a great season. He had 26-9-6, and how many three-pointers? 4-for-7, 11-for-21 shooting. Patrick Williams, he had just 3 points, 4 rebounds, and an assist and a block. Tell us about Pat Williams. Rostering him rest of season in 12 teams, and what about in Dynasty long term? You a fan?
Dynasty, yeah, definitely. I see a lot of potential in him. He's a guy that just spent 1 year in college, and a lot of these guys, you know, it takes them several years when they come into the pros to really reach their full potential. But I mean, just from what I've seen in his very first year as a 19-year-old, I'm super impressed by his game. I think he's from both a real basketball and a fantasy perspective as well. I think he's definitely a keeper in Dynasty.
Yeah, and we'll see what happens. He may still get back to returning some 12-team value. We talked about this before with the rookies. It really only is LaMelo and Halliburton who've got definite 12-team value for the whole rest of the season. Everybody else, including Pritchard and any other rookies you want to name, maybe we talked about earlier today, Anthony Edwards being like a rosterable guy. Apart from that, the rest of them are all outside the top 150. Even Pat Williams over the season, he's I think around 180th or something like that, even though he's been borderline in the last month. So we'll have to see how that goes. Thomas Satoransky, 17-4 with 7 assists. Should I be going out to get Tommy?
Well, as a Wizards fan, I've always had a soft spot in my heart for Sato, but you know, he's a really underrated player. When he gets his shot, when he gets his minutes, he can rack up some numbers all across the board pretty much. He's, you know, he's a good defender. He'll get you some. He didn't do too much in those categories today, but you know, I would keep an eye on the situation. If you hear anything, you know, from one of their beat reporters or something that Sato's going to be getting more time, then I would definitely pick him up, because he can definitely put up some stats for you.
Yeah, Sato is one to watch. The next game, and we are going to have to rapidly run through them. It's Saturday night here at 10:30 in Australia. So forgive me if I summarize a little bit, and I'll hit one guy from each team with John as we blow through the next 10 minutes or so and bang out these last 6 games. For the Pistons, I wish we had more time to talk, because they beat the evil Boston Celtics 108-102. Jeremy Grant was okay at 15-5. Blake Griffin had 12-4-6. DeLon Wright had another great game, 22-6-7 with a steal and a block. Wow, Ellington has fallen off. He had 5-2-1. Isaiah Stewart fell back to earth a little bit after his massive game. I was going to go and grab him in a lot of places, but he played 22 minutes only. They went small. The Pistons did, and that's why Josh Jackson played 31 minutes. He had 14-5-2 with a steal and 2 blocks. Sadiq Bey had 30-12 on 10-12 shooting, 7-for-7 from deep. Wow. Sadiq Bey, what do you think?
Yeah, this is a team that I'm really high on, and Bey, I mean, he's a really good shooter. He just got in one of those zones today, though, where he just, you know, he could have thrown up, you know, a Hail Mary from the other end of the court, and it would have gone in. I mean, you know, just people get the shooters, players get in those zones sometimes. And he was just unconscious today. I, you know, he's, he does have a good touch. I mean, he's shown it pretty much all year, and he's a really impressive rookie. I'm really high on him going forward.
Put you on the spot, though. 12-team pickup, would you roster him rest of season or at least have a look?
Nah, probably not. No.
Yeah. I picked him up in our Yahoo Hoops for Blooming Idiots League. At the moment, as you know, I'm actually, the last few weeks, my team's going so well, and I'm flogging someone like 8-1. Shout out to the Velvet Milkman this week from Melbourne. So I thought, why not just have a look over the weekend, maybe see what happens on the next game on the Sunday, and then I guess I could always drop him and move on a Monday. For the Boston Celtics, Semi Ojeleye, is he a grab?
With Smart out, I guess, I don't know. He had a huge game last time, and he's putting up numbers across the board there, you know, the defensive numbers, and, you know, he'll give you some rebounds and assists. So if you need a guy that just does a little bit of everything, he put him in your queue or put him on your watch list and, you know, give him a little bit of run, you know, until some injured guys come back. But, I don't know. What do you think?
Well, this is a team, I think. I was just going to say, they're moving into the territory like teams like the Mavs, the Lakers mm-hmm. and stuff like that, where there's a couple of guys who are must roster, and obviously Kemba when he's available, even though he's not been great, he's must roster. But apart from Tatum and Brown, the rest is really messy. Daniel Tice had 11-9-1 with a steal and a block. He's obviously the best of the center, but that's all mess. That's really messy. Robbie Williams was out here. I'm not sure about Ojeleye. I think, you know, when Marcus Smart comes back and Kemba Walker plays, he's not going to get the run that he had here. Pritchard was disappointing. He had 28 minutes and he just had 2 and 3 on 1 for 5 shooting. He really fell back to earth. We do have to move along, as much as I'd like to rub it in for the Celtics, who are now basically a 500 team. They're, I think, one game ahead of the Knicks. Let's just take a moment to enjoy that. A team you love is the OKC Thunder, and I love them as well because I've got lots of their guys in different iterations on my teams. They played very well to just lose by 2 points to the Nuggets, or the Nuggets played badly, depending on your take. For the Thunder, in this 95-97 loss, Diallo just keeps on chugging along at the moment. He had 16-4-2 with 3 steals. Kendrick Williams, wow, 7-11-9 with a steal. I've got him in my 24-team deep league. Yippee. Kai A, mother foes. Lou Dort had 15-3-1 with a steal. Baisley shot badly, as he does quite often. He had 7-7-2. Horford had 16-5-4. And Justin Jackson, speaking of mofos, he had 12-3 with 3 assists and 2 steals. Isaac Roby came back, and Isaiah Roby, I'm sorry, and played 19 minutes. He had 7-5-3. He's another one that I picked up, I think, end of season. And, of course, Maladon there as well. Of those guys, if you only had to pick one of them to roster, maybe two, who would you roster in 12 teams?
I think I would take a shot on Maladon, actually. This is a team, there's just something, they play with a lot of pride every night. They play really hard every night. There's almost never a blowout when you go up against OKC. They have they seem to have a rotating starting roster every night. There's a bunch of moving pieces, but they always put in a good effort, and they're look at their record. They're 10-15. They could have easily been 11-14 after today, but I think, I don't know. I, a lot of my friends are really high on Roby, but I like Maladon. He's only 19, and, you know, he's shown that he can run the team, you know, from the point guard perspective. And, you know, he still has a kind of a high turnover rate, but maybe not so much for this year, but going forward, I'm pretty high on that kid.
Yeah, now I've stashed him, I think, in the Hoops of Blooming Idiots League. I've got him on my IR and just want to see how he plays when he comes back as well. Just sort of looking at their end of season stuff with some of these guys who could just have huge roles in OKC. Do you think Al Horford gets traded?
Oh, man. You know, I think he likes playing there, actually.
Shout out to his sister Anna, who just is in love with the OKC fans and vice versa, as opposed to the Philly fans.
You know, Al's one of those guys. He's kind of solemn, and, you know, he's not too expressive, but you can kind of get a feel when he's enjoying, you know, playing with a group of guys, which hasn't been the case the last couple of years in Philly, obviously. But even though this team is, you know, kind of close to the bottom in the league, I mean, they're still, like I said before, they're there's something in the culture there at OKC that, you know, that there's just a lot of pride in the way that they play. And I think he likes it. I would like to see him on a contender, of course, but I think he will eventually get moved before the trade deadline.
Now, a team that's a bit easier to work out at the minute is the Denver Nuggets. Basically, there's five guys: Murray, Jokic, Barton, Millsap, Porter Jr., and Gary Harris, who is injured at the moment. So that just left five. Murray had 22, 5, 5, and 2. Nikola Jokic had 23, 13, and 9 with a steal and a block. Barton was okay, had 10, 5, and 5. Millsap had 12, 3, and 4. And Porter Jr. had 15 and 4 with a steal and 2 blocks. It's good to see him bouncing back a bit. Let's talk about Jamal Murray. Do you think he can perform at sort of top 50 value for the rest of the season? Or is it going to be where he doesn't show up until, well, it's nearly March, isn't it? We're only 2 weeks away from, what do you call him, Mr. March, don't you?
Yeah, I call Jamal Murray Mr. March because he always starts to heat up right around when the playoff season comes. But I don't know. He's just not as consistent as some of the other, you know, superstar players are. I don't know. Maybe it's just my imagination, but I just seem to tune in sometimes and check, you know, box scores where I see he has 4 points or, you know, 9 points, and maybe, and then suddenly like he'll go off for like 48 one night. But when it gets in the playoff time, it seems like he's using the regular season to ramp up to the playoff season where he goes off for, you know, 38 every night, like he did in the bubble. So I don't know. I think he's a I think he's a hard guy to have on your team, actually. I like a little bit more consistent performer, actually.
Now, speaking of consistent performers, the next team we're going to talk about is the Jazz. They've won, I think, 15 of 16 games, or is it 16 of 17? They look unbelievable. 129 points to 115. That's borderline flogging. I read something like from David Locke from Locked On Jazz saying, I think they've been ahead by 20 points in 16 of their games this season. I mean, they haven't won those by more than 20, but they've led at least 16 of their games by 20 points or more, and they did this one too. They absolutely flogged the Bucks here. It wasn't really close, especially in the second half. And now, Mitchell had 26, 6, and 8. Bogdanovich had 9, 3, and 2. Gobert had a huge game, 27 and 12. Joe Ingles had 27, 3, and 5. Jordan Clarkson, 25, 4, and 5 with a steal, 10 for 18, including, and 4 for 11. Jingles was 7 for 9. Have you seen anything like this three-point shooting these guys are doing? It's outstanding, isn't it?
Man, they are on fire. I was telling a group of people the other day, it seems like they start every game with a 20-point lead. And I guess when you have somebody like Gobert in the middle of your team, you know, the opponent is just it just seems like they're always, you know, going uphill in that situation. So, yeah, these guys are just pounding people every night. I mean, it's kind of fun to watch.
Now, on the Milwaukee side, Giannis had 29 and 15 with 6 assists, 2 steals, 2 blocks, which is great. 4 of 6 from the 3-throw line. I always look at that. That's not too bad considering how he can absolutely destroy you there. Middleton had 18, 2 and 4. Lopez had 23 and 6. Bryn Forbes had a quiet one. Augustine, 12 and 1 with 3 assists and 2 steals. Bobby Portis keeps on keeping on, 15 and 5. He's one of the sort of waiver wire pickups of the season. I wanted to ask you about Dante DiVincenzo. He had 5, 2 and 2. I dropped him in a couple of leagues. I drafted a lot of him. You know, I'm a Dante fan. I think you're the guy who actually got me onto Dante. I dropped him in a couple of leagues and I picked him back up in both of those, and then he's gone and had a 5-pointer on me.
Yeah, you know, I love Dante, and I have a lot of his basketball cards, a lot of his rookie cards. And, you know, he started off the season, you know, really hot, and I got a lot of offers on eBay for Dante cards, and I turned them all down, and I'm kind of regretting it a little bit now. Not that I think he's, you know, not a good player or anything. I really think he's solid, but, you know, I don't know. I think I don't think he's ever going to be a big, you know, he's never going to be a big scorer. I don't think he's just a solid guy that can help you in a lot of different areas. He's a winning basketball player, you know.
Yeah, I absolutely agree with that. That when he steps on the court side of things, he makes them better for sure.
Yeah, he's one of those guys that's just a little bit better from like a real basketball perspective, I think.
Now, next game, Memphis Grizzlies. They lost 105 to 115 against the Lakers. The Lakers had Anthony Davis going off. He had 35 and 9 with an assist and a steal. James had 28, 9 and 8 with two steals. Wow, that guy just does not age, does he? He just is like, how does he do it? And he's not slowing down. He's not resting. It really seems like a couple of seasons ago, people were saying he was past his peak, but playing with Davis and winning rings, I mean, he's playing as well as he was playing a few years ago, isn't he?
As long as he's in the league, he's going to be the best player in the league. I mean, it doesn't matter how. I mean, he's like Tom Brady. I mean, as long as he's playing, he's going to be the best player on the court. He just doesn't. And the defense he's playing this year compared to the last few years is really, it's just amazing what he's doing. I don't have any words for it.
And Kuzma had 20 and 10, which is surprising because normally he doesn't have good games when Davis and James both play. He remains a streaming option when one of them is out, but I'm not sure that he's an ad. For the Grizzlies, Ja Morant had 22 points, 3 rebounds and 10 assists. Grayson Allen had 23 and 3. Valanciunas had 22, 8 and 5. Dylan Brooks fell back to earth a little bit. He had just 12 and 2, 5 for 13 from the field. Slow-mo Anderson had 6, 6 and 5 with 3 steals and a block. He is a waiver wire ad just about, isn't he? And he's available in quite a few leagues.
Oh, wow. I didn't know he was that available. If he's out there, definitely get him. He'll put it up every night.
Two games to go. We'll just blast through these real quickly and see. Portland Trailblazers, you've just got to respect them, the efforts they put up. 129 to 110. They're just pulling stuff right out of their proverbials, aren't they? To just, night after night, they seem to be playing well. They beat the Philadelphia 76ers, who some people might think are the best or one of the top two or three teams in basketball this season. They beat them, and on the back-to-back, now they've gone and beaten Cleveland, 129 to 110. Lillard had 20 points, 3 rebounds, 9 assists, 7 for 16. Bit of a quiet night, but Gary Trent Jr., as I call him, Gary Stentube Jr., 26 points, 3 rebounds, 2 assists, 8 for 12 from the field and 4 of 6 from deep. He's really stepped up with CJ out, hasn't he?
This has been one of the most impressive teams to me so far. Not one of the best teams, but just the whole story of CJ going down. They have a collection of guys that, honestly, I didn't really believe in until they've gone on the court and actually done it. I mean, guys like Simons, Trent Jr., even Melo's is putting up huge numbers. Of course, I believe in Melo, but they just have a bunch of guys that I just thought were not really good basketball players. But man, they're 15 and 10. They're killing it right now.
Yeah, I mean, you can't complain. They're only a game behind the Suns and 3 games behind the Clippers, which is pretty amazing. Ahead of the Nuggets. I mean, who knows how all this ends up, but you can't really complain if you're a Blazers fan.
This is with like Covington not doing very much either. I mean, he usually starts to turn it on, right around this time of the year. I mean, he's playing good defense and rebounding, usually not so good tonight, but he hasn't really kicked in. When he starts to warm up, this is going to be a tough team to beat.
And Anthony had 23 and 2. He has been really good with CJ out as well. Derek Jones Jr. had 5 points and 5 rings. Covington had a quiet one, just 3 and 4 with a block. And he only had 3 shots as well. But he has been better over the last couple of weeks. Cantor, 21 and 13. He's probably one of the waiver wire grabs of the season, that fella.
He's just a rebounder. I mean, he just puts out every night.
Now, for the Cleveland Cavaliers, Sexton had 25, 3 and 5. Garland had 17, 2 and 4. Drummond had 8 and 5. And Jarrett Allen had 22, 6 and 2. I don't like Andre Drummond. And I think this, when I see him have lines like this, I just worry about what's going to happen at the end of the season. And I keep saying, if he has a couple of huge 20 and 20 nights and you own him, sell, sell, sell. Am I wrong?
I don't think anybody really likes Drummond that much from like a real basketball perspective, but yeah, I probably would if he gets on a streak where he's putting up like 20 and 15 for a few nights, try to get what you can for him in that situation. It was just one of those weird games though where they got like down by a lot early on, and it was just a weird game script kind of thing. So I think people that own him can expect him to bounce back a little bit, but I'm glad to see that they don't have Drummond and Allen on the court at the same time. That really was a disaster.
Now, this last game, we could probably do a whole nother podcast about this because it's Orlando who both of us have enjoyed a lot for the last few years, and Sacramento, who we kind of laughed at for the last few years a lot, and they are just a lot better and more interesting this season. Orlando won 123 to 112, which is a bit of a turn up for the books at the moment. Heald had 19-4-4 for the Kings. Barnes had 13-5-4. Halliburton started, played 27 minutes. He had 14-3-7 with a steal, which was great. Holmes had 10-7, two assists and two steals. Bjelica, there was a Bjelica sighting. He had 15-9 with six assists. Whiteside had 16-7. Quick questions. You picking up Bjelica, and how high are you on Halliburton for the long term? Two questions for you.
Well, I think Bjelica might be a guy they might be trying to move at the trade deadline. So they might be trying to feature him over the next couple of weeks. So he's a guy I might think about picking up, because I could see him getting increased minutes again, in order to try so that the real team could actually trade him. So, yeah, I think I would kind of ride that wave and you know, add him in a couple of places.
Last lines of the evening for the Magic, Vucevic, Mike. Goodness, I need some counseling for taking Nurkic instead of him in the two leagues. 42-9-4 with two steals, 17-22 from the field. Wow. What do you say?
Yeah.
Let's move on and talk about something else. Terry Ross had 18-5-4. Did you pick up any Terry Ross anywhere? A lot of people dropped him. My God, I picked up three or four of him in the last week. Do you think I'm going to be happy with that?
He's just a guy that you got to get when he's hot. And then, you know, kind of like Norman Powell, you know, they go through like, you know, a week and a half or 2 weeks where they just can't miss anything. And then they fall off the earth for like 3 weeks, you know? So, you know, he's just a guy you got to pick up and drop and pick up and drop and pick up and drop, I think.
Speaking of pick up and drop, a guy that's happened to a lot since he came into the league was Michael Carter-Williams. He had 21-7-7. Are you picking up MCW?
I've always been a fan of his game, and I think he's pretty versatile. I think, you know, he can fill in point guard, which they need right now. But if they get any of their other point guards back, he's a guy that could move over and play a little bit of two guard defensively too as well. So he can play off the ball a little bit. So I don't think he's going to have too much fantasy value. Well, with all of their point guards out, he will. But as soon as one of those guys come back, you know, Cole Anthony or whoever else they have there, if they bring in like some guy like Shabazz Napier or somebody off the street, I think his value is going to go down a little bit then. But I think he's going to be in the game. I mean, he's going to be in there somewhere. They're just so thin at the moment. So
and I don't know. I watch some of these games as well, and Cole Anthony's not the most kind of distinguished distributor yet at this point. But I'm chomping at the bit to get my last question out to you, which is Ken Birch good at basketball, and how much is he worth? How much is he worth in a 30-team league?
He's worth at least a late first rounder, I would say. Maybe a first and a second, actually. my love for Ken Birch goes back ever since he's been in the league. I've always loved the guys.
Now tell the truth. It's only because you love Tall Timber and he's named after a tree.
I've always liked his game. Do you know him and Christian Wood played together at UNLV?
Oh, there you go.
They played in college together. Wood and Birch. That's something, isn't it?
Timber!
Some serious timber they had there at UNLV there for a couple of years.
Professor Steele, a.k.a. Wizards Woj, thank you so much for joining us this evening. It's been an absolute pleasure to have a gentleman and a scholar such as yourself on the show with us, and we hope to have you back on again sometime soon, mate. Good on you.
Yeah, thanks for having me, and good night, everybody.
This has been a Hoop Ball presentation.